You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, before I introduce our extremely special guest, what I thought I might do is just put a quick call in to Kate Save from Be Fit Food, and we'll just get an update on what she's doing, because we've had this theme going, trying to make people lose weight or be a little fitter. And so I'm going to try and ring her and just ask. I hope she answers the phone, and if she does, I hope I know how to put it through onto the podcast. So here we go. Now, just a minute. Doc, you're going to have to help me here. Here we go. We're ringing Kate Save here. And now, what happens when she answers the phone? If she answers the phone.
Hello.
Now, Kate, just a minute. I'm going to make sure. Is this being recorded now?
Yeah, we can hear. Yep.
We can hear her? Yep. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. Now, Kate, I'm sorry this is impromptu and short notice, but I just want you to tell us what your plans are health-wise. And Don's here, and Doc James Stewart's here. Just tell us what's going on in the immediate future with Be Fit Foods, please.
So I guess for Be Fit Foods, what we're waiting for is for everyone to have a really lovely Christmas period and the festive season, lots of food, lots of drink, and then we are ready to go with a two-week metabolism reset. So we know for most people, they set their New Year's resolution, and I'm sure if we ask people last year did they actually achieve them, it's probably a no. Whereas our product is created to do exactly that, to get the 5.89 kilos off in 14 days. So that's what we're doing. We're helping Australia to get that Christmas kilos off and hopefully to avoid putting on Christmas kilos on top of COVID kilos. And that's really what Be Fit Food is about, changing your health from the inside.
And to access and to just be part of all this, they get the product either direct or from the just tell us about that. Where do you get it?
Yeah, so they're in 750 Woolworths stores at the moment, plus a handful of chemists and Richie's IGAs. But online, befitfood.com.au, so that's the easiest for home delivery all across Australia, except we're not in the Northern Territory yet. So, and there is the code that for the listeners of your podcast, they can use as well. So if they go to befitfood.com.au, they can use a $25 discount code, so Sirius25.
Now, Kate, I went to your head office, which is in Mornington Tyabb Road. I think it's 49 Mornington Tyabb Road, Mornington, and the range was so extensive. It was unbelievable because I go to the supermarket down the road. What is it? Benton Square. That's locally. So I do. But your range, I don't know why it's not in the supermarket, because, as I said to you, it's extensive. It's not only meal, you know, there's soups. I got some protein snacks and also some drinks as breakfast, main meals and whatever else. And
I bet you didn't pay for them, seeing
well,
as you're giving an extensive
Samantha, who was on Saturday morning, she was there, and she was very, very helpful, because I've had other pre-cooked meals, and I'm not saying because you're on the phone, but it just goes through you like a dose of salt, some of these pre-cooked
Thank you, Don.
But the quality, your dim sims, I have not come across a piece of gristle at all in either of your dim sims.
My dad would probably get rid of me as a child, because that's his recipe.
Yeah, but who does the quality?
Destroyed it.
Yeah, but who does the quality control? He might have come up with a recipe, but the quality is just outstanding. Is it because you freeze the stuff and it's got its taste when you actually thaw it and go to eat it?
That is definitely part of it. You get the higher nutrient content, and people used to think in the past that frozen was less of a product, but what it actually does is preserve the DNA of the food, the good bacteria on the food, because when you're eating refrigerated food, let's face it, if you're watching it get manufactured, delivered, go to the supermarket, you're collecting it. By the time you eat it, that food could be 10 to 30 days old and preserved with God knows what, gassed with God knows what, changing all the bacteria on the food, depleting the nutrient levels. But with frozen, we snap freeze the food. We preserve the DNA of the food, the good bacteria in the food. So it's actually about changing your body from the inside out as opposed from the outside in, which, you know, the competitors might talk about, you know, calories and carbs and sugar, and those things are all important. But if you don't nourish your gut from the inside, then you're not going to change your health.
Don't, well, what not, about, what about, any more
will
questions
you shut
Kate?
Up for a moment?
No, don't ask her any more questions, Don. I tell you, Kate, if I come down to the head office, I'll be backing my truck up. I want you to load it up for the extensive mention we've given you about BeFit
Foods.
Else, we think it's fantastic. Go ahead, Don.
Where else, Kate? The range, I was blown away at your head office. Well, where else can you get a range? Are there any other outlets that have the range that you have at the head office?
Look, the head office has got 70 different SKUs, and so does our online store, so the Mornington office. But some of the Woolworths now definitely have 15 SKUs, and we are ranging into a handful of chemists and having whole hoard or freezers. That's still a secret, so I will update you in 2023 when that's coming.
Okay, now listen, I went onto your website.
Any more questions?
Shut up, will you? God. Kate, I went onto your website. I'm not computer literate. But I got all these other people prior to, I looked for BeFit Foods and I got, some other crowd. And I was going to plug into those, but that's not you. Why is there people above your website?
They piggyback.
Do they?
You're absolutely right. So what happens is people can bid on any words on the internet, on Google, right? And whoever's got the biggest bankroll bids on, you know, bids the highest amount. So our words, BeFit Food, are very valuable in the competitors' eyes because we know our customers are searching for us. But if you've got really deep pockets and some of these big companies like U Foods, My Muscle Chef, and the other ones that have got, you know, the venture capital backing, they're spending up to $20 million a year in marketing, and they're going to be seen. They're going to be bidding on our ads and be able to do that. But you can go directly to our website. Just be careful what you click on. Make sure you actually go to befitfood.com.au, not an ad that you get sold for someone pretending to be us.
Well, Don, that is the best question you've asked about piggybacking, unlike Gristle in the,
South Melbourne Dim Sims. They're as big as the ones you get at the market at South Melbourne.
As big as your fat head. But that's a very good question about piggybacking. Go to BeFit Foods. Don't be mesmerised by the people at the top of the list. Now, Kate, all the best to you. Thank you very much for being part of this. Has Ross Lyon got in touch with you? Don said he was overweight and that you could help him lose weight. I don't know if he's been in touch with you yet.
He hasn't been in touch, but I'm waiting on that call. Right. I would love to help it. Who you guys may have spoken to, has lost 20 kilos in the last 3 months on BeFit Food. I can send you the before and afters.
Don't send us anything else at all, Kate. Thank you. All the best to you, and thank you very much for taking the call.
Pleasure. Bye.
That the same thing happens with me with the piggybacking. People, because of my reputation now, the big other companies that have business backing have paid for, if someone Googles Dr. James Stewart or medicinal cannabis or plant-based, you'll get all these other things pop up before me, and I'm about on page three or something because I can't afford to. Yeah. It's pretty ordinary what they do. Yeah.
Now, Don, so there we are. We just thought we'd have to do that. I'm glad you didn't ask. How much do you think that we're getting paid to do that with Kate? But we want product, don't we? So, did you go in and pay for any of that stuff? The gristle-free meatballs?
I got beautiful fridge.
Jesus,
everything was frozen.
Shit, you just winding her up. Oh, I said, never found any gristle in the, what are they called? The
Dim Sims.
Oh, yes, they're as big as my head, and I never found any.
As big as the ones you get at South Melbourne Market.
Oh, that's good size.
Yeah, they're big balls.
They're like footballs. Yeah, you got big balls. Now, Don. Not often, or quite often, we speak to people we have no idea who we're speaking to or why. But you rang me and you said, there's a man called Tim, I'm saying his name's Rath, but it might be Roth, but it's spelt Rath.
Rath.
Hey?
Rath.
Rath. Right, that's Tim's
like
voice
Bath.
There. Right? Tim Rath. You said, Don, you rang me and you said, Tim has a book out called The Footy Jumper Book, a pretty self-explanatory title, and you said he collects football jumpers. And I said, shit, how interesting would that be, Don? And you said, well, he's bought a book out and he's selling it. And then you explained a bit about it. And I actually have looked through the book, and it is a fascinating history of how football jumpers have evolved.
Jeez,
over the...
Haven't you changed in the space of 30 bloody seconds? You were the most negative bastard because it wasn't your idea. Oh, no. Go.
I just said, Don, how exciting would a book on football jumpers be? And then I got the book and I looked at it. It is a fascinating insight into how football jumpers over the years and decades and centuries, if you like, have evolved. And it's a fantastic book, a hard copied book, beautifully illustrated. And there is more information about football jumpers, and I have completely thought what a extraordinarily boring subject this would be to how fascinating it is, Don. So I'm giving it plenty. And I know nothing about Tim Rath. I know nothing about Tim Rath other than to say, welcome, Tim, to You Cannot Be Serious. And I'm going to, in advance, congratulate you on what looks like a fantastic pictorial on football jumpers over the years. How did you get involved in this and why?
Thanks, Sam. It probably started 20 years ago when I started collecting. I grew up in country Victoria and moved around quite a bit from town to town, Dad being a teacher. And the footy jumper was the symbol of the town. And so we went from town to town, and it just had an affinity with me. And over the years, I started collecting, and at one point, I thought I should start photographing them. And so I started that process probably 10 years ago, and over the last few years, in earnest, I started to put the book together.
Now, the research that's gone into it, I've had a cursory glance at the book. There is photographs. Where did you get all the research and the photographs? And is there anything that you've missed in the book? Because it's about the most extensive compendium of football jumpers. Is it only restricted to what we would call Australian rules jumpers?
Yes. Yeah. Sam. I got them from all over Australia. So the book wouldn't have happened without the help of around 150 people around Australia. So through social media and other aspects, we were able to get in contact with them through Facebook and Instagram and those sorts of places. And we organised photo shoots in Brisbane and Perth, Tasmania, down in Hobart. And I went up to Sydney, we went to the Mallee, we went to the Wimmera, various places, and took the photos and got the stories behind the jumpers.
The stories are just absolutely riveting. There's a bloke called Bert Rankin now. He played at Geelong.
Yep.
How you got onto these jumpers? And I'm looking at one from the Carnival of 1927. Is it made of wool? And looking at the sleeves, it looks like it's got buttons on the sleeves that you can either make it, you button it up, so you've got a long sleeve Guernsey, you undo the buttons at the shoulder, and you've got a short or sleeveless Guernsey. Is that right, Tim?
Correct, Don. So you might have one sleeve on and one sleeve off.
He would have done that for sure.
But that one was found in a shipping container in Horsham, would you believe?
Really?
Yeah, so I went up there to photograph Jeff Burdett's collection. Jeff played with Essendon in the 70s.
That's right.
Briefly, because he had to go back to the family farm. And his wife's cousin had those in a shipping container. So it was a great discovery.
The other thing that fascinates me is the originality of the old jumpers. Nowadays, I think when I was in the trade, it was called sublistatic, where you did a print on the plastic, which they all seem to be now. I call them plastic jumpers. But I go back to a jumper here, which there's a team that I support in the country called Sorrento. It's a lace-up Guernsey. It's in North Melbourne stripes, but the stripes are very thin. Instead of having the three stripes in white, which the jumpers have now, it looks like it's got six vertical white stripes and about eight of the part. But across that, you've got the red sash, that is a thin red sash. The originality of these, do you find that, and even the typing of this Carlton emblem on the front of 1918, why hasn't those things just continued through the ages?
That's a very good question. I think over time, footy clubs become bored with their own jumper, is all I can think. And new regimes come in and they decide that if the footy club's going through the doldrums, the first thing they probably look at is changing their emblem.
And they can sell more jerseys to get some more money in.
They change the colours or they change the design. That happens all the time.
So, now, Don, we're speaking to Tim Rath, who has produced a book called The Footy Jumper Book. It is an extraordinary compendium on football jumpers. Most of the jumpers, so it goes from, I see Doug Wade has a jumper in here, number 23, that's in here. I played with Doug in the early 60s and we wore woolen, our jumpers were woolen, and after about three washes you could hardly get into them, so they shrunk. They did, and they had the numbers on flaps and they sewed the flap onto the jumper, and then they embroidered the number onto the jumper itself, and then they stenciled them. Then it's changed over the years. The Victorian jumper, Don, which I'm sure you wore several times with the big V, they had plastic numbers on them. So you're quite right about people wanting to stamp their own imprimatur on their club and changing the design. But I think I could speak for Don and I say, the hybrid jumpers that they make out now, the traditional colours of the jumpers, I don't know why they tamper with them. They do, because the doc said for commercial reasons. But you like to see the brown and gold stripes of Hawthorn. You like to see the vertical hoops of Geelong and the Carlton jumper. That you like them not to be taken out too much out of context. How have they changed over the years? Have you understood any of those questions, Tim?
Well, they've changed even from state to state. Seacombe over in WA, they had a very broad neck to their jumpers
Without a collar?
I'd had a collar of sorts, but not as pronounced as the Victorian one. It was probably climate based that it was warmer playing footy over there. And then the Victorian ones in the 60s or up until the 60s had
a placket.
Well, the buttons. Yeah. So that was probably to do with the colder climate. And then the long sleeves were a thing for a long time, particularly in the
50s?
Well, probably up until the 60s, really.
Right.
Particularly in the cooler climates. Again, West Australia probably did away with the long sleeves before we did.
The other thing that fascinated me in going back and looking at these old, I mentioned the lace-up, the material. Even whilst we were playing, we'd go to South Australia and we'd play South Australia, and they were wearing the lace-up. Now, that seemed to be a thing that's gone out. I remember my grandfather playing at Rutherglen in early 1900s, and here they all are with the lace-up, which is what, made of cotton?
Oh, various things over the years.
Canvas?
Canvas.
I wore a lace-up jumper at Geelong in the 60s.
Yep.
We tried them, but I didn't think there were any... there was no give in them. Yeah. They were like a straight jacket.
They were like canvas, and people could put their hands
in. But they wore them in South Australia. I think every Sturt player had a lace-up
Guernsey.
That's
right. There was teams that exclusively used lace-ups, and Sturt was one.
Now, Tim Rath, is... are they... the jumpers, school jumpers in there? Are there VFA and VFL jumpers? Are there suburban jumpers? Are there any, all the AFL clubs' jumpers represented in here? All and the even the new clubs?
No. So, it goes from 1880 through to about 2000.
Yep.
And we deliberately left out the modern iteration of the AFL.
I see. Yep. The new sides in...
So, the West Coast and Frio and all that type of thing. So it's really more around the code itself. And yes, there's school jumpers. Yes, there's VFA jumpers, sample jumpers, waffle jumpers, club jumpers from all over Australia, including Darwin and Alice Springs and places that, you know, we don't see a lot of jumpers down here about.
Now, being innovative, you know, it's very, very hard to be innovative. But I see one, I suppose you call it a football outfit. Neil Craig, Norwood Football Club. It looks like a bodysuit. So the jumper looks like it's got a zip down the front, yet it's connected to a short. So it is, I suppose, a bodysuit. Is it a bodysuit as such, short sleeve, shorts, all in one, which is really quite innovative, isn't it?
Very innovative. And Neil has been known as an innovator over his entire footy career. And that was used in, what was the season?
Well, it's Rod Maynard. Now, he played for the Crows, I think, in their initial year when they first came into the... He was a backman. And he played for Norwood, came from Norwood. It's on page 55 if you want to know. I'm just doing a flick through and I've come across this. I find it really... Why hasn't something like that taken off?
Yeah, it's funny why they haven't done that, because you'd think in terms of opposition grabbing you, having a tight one piece would be, you know, that's the least amount of possible material
to
grab.
That's why they had the lace-up, hard to tackle.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point you make, James, because Neil thought that, and that's why he did it. But what he found counterintuitively was that they tackled better. The teams that they opposed tackled better because they had to concentrate on grabbing the body.
So it was counterproductive. They knew they had to,
You would think it's extraordinary, Don. We can speak about football jumpers in depth like this, but I notice on the... I notice the forward has been written by Martin Flanagan.
Yep.
What is the significance of Martin doing that?
I
know who he is, and he's a very good man. But
We wanted to recognise football person, football writer, to give it the imprimatur, I suppose. And he's one of my favourite football writers, so we approached him, and luckily for us, he agreed. And
On the opening page, there's a woolen Hawthorn jumper and a woolen, I presume, a Collingwood jumper in the back, and it says here, a pair of early 1970s Guernseys from the Melbourne Sports Depot, who now you can buy, were there specialised places where you could buy the jumpers, or could you, they weren't actually ready, you couldn't buy a lot of them in the multiple stores, could you, or were they just selected sports stores that used to sell the jumpers in the early days?
If that is
a question.
I'm not sure that is more a statement, Sam. MSD was obviously one, and then in country areas, your bigger towns, you'd have your sports store that would stock the local footy team jumper, and maybe some VFL.
So to be just an item of interest for you, back in our time, we started to wear these. The lace-up I'm talking about, do you know that a player got his finger caught, and I think that was, I don't know who the player was.
Robbie Flower.
Was it?
Yep.
He got his finger caught and either ripped the top off his finger or something under the lace of the Guernsey. Consequently, they were banned in Victoria from that time on.
Yeah, and subsequently in other states a few years later.
Tim, the other thing I'm a little bit suspicious of the AFL and the way they do things now, it seems to me that in all country towns they seem to emulate the colours or the designs of the AFL teams. Am I right in saying that, or is there still a little bit of originality or in the country with regard to football colours and the design of their jumpers?
I think there is still some. The Rushworth jumper, which is jumper number 21, is a magnificent black with a yellow hoop, a single yellow hoop, which I hadn't seen before.
What page?
That is... Page
109.
So that particular design dates back, you know, probably 100 years, I'd imagine. So there is still originality there. But you're right.
Oh,
there have been a lot of clubs that have taken on, you know, the Port Power design or the GWS Giants design.
Even that jumper next door to it, it's called Teachers Football Club South Queensland. It's like the Footscray jumper, but instead of the red, it is maroon. And so, you know, the hoops of Footscray substituted maroon for the red. That's unique as well. And it's also got the emblem of the club on the chest.
Yeah, the monogram. That is a ripper. One of my favourites.
And what about the cost of the... You know, okay, I realise there's collectors out there. How much would you value some of these jumpers at?
Well, some would be more than $10,000.
For one jumper?
Yep.
And in your research and your collection, could you do another edition? Are there more jumpers out there than what we actually see in this book?
Well, there's 320 in the books, Don.
320?
There are obviously hundreds still in cupboards, you know, out all over Australia, and we'd love to do another book.
I can say this, that I do a little speaking from a company that organises that, and they also sell memorabilia, and I know that Luke Hodges did he plan three premierships? Well, I think he did.
Yeah,
Hawthorn.
Yep.
Maybe four. His original jumpers were on sale. I'm a bit averse to say how much they were in case he doesn't want me to mention it. They were on sale for over $200,000. The four, I think it was four or three. Three, how many premierships did you play? And I remember seeing them, they said, gee, that's good, you've got those, they're up on display. He said, yep, he said, they're for sale for that price. And
are they the originals or copies?
No, he says they're originals, and I'm sure if you're asking that money for them, you'd have to have Luke give a certificate of authenticity from them. They still had the grass marks on them and all that sort of stuff, so they were looked to be pretty real. And if you could get one of Gary Ablett Sr.'s number 5 jumpers, they'd be worth, could be worth $250,000 if he'd signed it. And so it is extraordinary, Don. Could I just say, the acknowledgement in the book, and there's a list of people there that's bigger than the telephone book. Where did you get from the back line? Where did you get all those people from? What are they? Are they
so they're collectors or individuals who have kept their jumpers over time that we've got in touch with and we've photographed their jumpers primarily?
Yeah, I'm the jumper. I just don't want to make this about me, but I'm just saying.
Yep.
Leesy from LA Smash Repairs in Collingwood, who is the biggest memorabilia collector for Geelong Football Club out of anyone. He has my jumper I played my 300th game in, and
really?
My white boots, and he has them, and I've signed that, and there's a picture of me playing in it, so you can see that it is the actual jumper. It's not a hybrid or a knock-up or anything.
Yep.
And he's often asked, would he sell that? And he said he wouldn't sell it because I gave it to him. And so they're just even made on your football premiership jumpers, if you had them.
I've still got them. Be
worth a fortune if you wanted to put them on the market, Don.
Just looking at, also, you've got team photographs. These are country teams. And I'm just looking at the physiques of these old country footballers. And let me tell you, they're as big, if not bigger, than what the players are today. And I would say that comes back to the fact that back in those days, they were working manually on the farm, and consequently their muscle definition and their shoulder definition is just absolutely remarkable, whereas blokes nowadays have got to push weights, and it's a false sense of weight, I believe, because this is not an Orton, and these blokes would have been exceptionally strong, because when you're doing manual work, it's an all-over body preoccupation. But they're huge. Those blokes are huge.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that, Don. The Rushworth one we mentioned before, a guy called Tony Ford got in touch with us, and he wrote a piece that's in the book under the Rushworth jumper, and it talks about that in the 1930s, that whole team, Rushworth, were very successful during that period. They were fit, really fit, and they were strong. They used to cut down trees. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so to your point, that's probably pretty accurate.
And I've got photographs of my grandfather who played up at Mara and Rutherglen back in 1900s, and they're big men. They are huge men.
Yep. Yeah,
big men, Don. Now, yes, they're very big men.
Bigger than you, Johnny. You were a wimp in comparison.
Sam, were you one of the first to wear the white shoes?
One of the first. I think Phil Carman was the first.
He was number two. He was running second.
Well, I just said that, Don.
But what he did do was dye his hair before any other footballer. So there is a first.
Yep.
And we did question his masculinity back in the early
70s. Please, Don, I wouldn't get onto that subject if I was you. People thought you were gay for many, many years until I had to tell them that I would like to slag you, but not that there's anything wrong, Tim, with being gay, because Don's, I think, non-binary as we speak. He could be any fucking thing, you'd never know. Now, Tim, you might know the answer to these questions, but were there any numbers that players What was the least requested or least printed number? 13? Did people shy away from superstitious numbers? You probably wouldn't know that. Or I would have thought I wouldn't have liked to. I don't know why I wouldn't have liked to have worn a jumper with 13 on it. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, that's a good question, Sam. No, I don't know the answer to that.
Go.
Well, numbers are a particular peculiarity of footy, aren't
they?
And we did write a piece on it, and it's around the use of the higher number and how our players traditionally, they get a number initially and then a lot of them move to the lower number.
Well, so, like, for example, Polly Farmer, who to me was the greatest player I saw, was number 5, and then Gary Ablett Sr. took over the number, not probably from Polly, but he was number 5. So number 5 at Geelong and number 23 at Hawthorn is... Don and John Peck and Dermot Brereton and was Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
I mean, 23 would be probably the sought-after number at Hawthorn if you consider it. So it's interesting to know that people would follow the numbers. And you probably don't know the answer to this question, but when did sponsors' emblems start being and appearing on the jumpers? You know, plastered all over the jumper.
In our time.
Well, I'm just asking Tim, who might know better than you, Don. I remember Geelong, I don't know if you know this, Geelong has the oldest, longest running sponsorship of any football club in the world. Ford, a motor company, have sponsored Geelong for 90 years, I think.
Yeah.
So, and that's the longest.
90 years?
I think so, Don. Whenever Geelong started,
Ford, it is.
Whenever Ford started building motor cars in Geelong, they put Ford on the jumper.
I thought Courage was the first at North Melbourne in the 70s.
No.
Courage?
Courage Breweries. North Melbourne were the first to go out and actually market themselves.
You're talking about actually on the jumper.
Yes.
Sam's talking about
Geelong,
but what? Not back in 90 years ago, they weren't on the jumper, but they certainly were a sponsor of the
Geelong
club.
Geelong have been on the jumper for longer than Courage ever have been.
Okay, now, Tim, you've got St Kilda jumper here. I just flicked to a page.
Yep.
I'll ask you a question because I'm a smart ass, I know. St Kilda's colours were red, gold and black. Then they changed to the colours that they are now, which are red, white and black. Why did they change their colours?
Yes, good question,
Well,
Don.
You could probably read the answer there.
Well, don't read it.
I'm just filling because...
Is the answer in there, is it?
The answer is the fact that they changed it because the Kaiser's colours, they went
Germans.
To war and they were fighting against Germany and Germany's colours were red, gold and black. So they changed the colours of St Kilda to what they are today.
And I've had this discussion with you off air, Don, because we're not allowed to mention the word, but Essendon had a jumper it was black with the red sash.
Yep.
And they at one stage were called... I won't say it, Don.
Bloodstained.
The bloodstained. You're not actually allowed to say the word, but it's extraordinary that that did exist. And if you actually research that, you have to go a long way into the depths of it to say that they mention that word because it's now precluded from all conversation, although black Americans are allowed to say it on a daily basis, but Caucasians aren't allowed to say it. But that is extraordinary that that jumper was called that all those years ago. Now, Tim, I notice we're giving you a lot of credit. The name I can't pronounce, Gigants.
Andrew Gigats. Gigs to his mates.
Gigs.
Or
so Gigs and Rathy or Rothy. Rathy and Gigs. What's Mr. Gigs do?
So he's a writer. So he's done quite
You've
a few football publications.
You've given him very little publicity. You've just taken all before you here, Tim. You should have mentioned, look, I wrote this book in conjunction with Gigs.
That's a very good point, Sam.
No, it's not.
So I've known Gigs for many years and it just so happened that we got together for this one and it's been a really successful partnership and we've worked well together. And as Don alluded to before, there's probably enough material for a second book. So we
Okay, where do we get this? Now, this is something I'd buy. How much is it? Where can I get this book from, Tim? And is it online? I suppose they do all online.
Well, he's about
to
answer all that.
So sportingnation.com.au
is
my company, and that's where I'm selling it primarily at the moment.
Sporting what?
Sporting Nation.
Sportingnation.com.au. What about bookshops?
There's some bookshops. I'm gradually hitting them up at the moment. So the Avenue Bookstore in Albert Park, the Village Store in Middle Park, Clementine's in the city, and then there's...
Avenue in the Middle, a very good bookstore in Albert Park.
Yeah, it's a great
one. Yep.
This will be a fantastic Christmas present.
Now, how much is it?
$90.
It's a hard copy book.
Yeah, good coffee
and
table book.
And as I say, when Don said, we heard a man in the speak out footy jumpers, I thought, well done, Don. That's
what about this
guest
jumper
you've ever got in. But it's a fantastic book, and I actually recommend it.
What about Hampton Football Club? It's a grey Guernsey with a red sash, thin red sash. The cuffs are red. The collar's red. That is the most unique jumper, grey football jumper.
Well,
1968.
In actual fact, it's meant to be light blue, but it looks like a Hugo Boss inspired jumper. It is so good. It's one of my favourites.
The colours.
That's amazing.
Why can't we have these?
Exactly.
Colours remain traditional?
Yeah, grey with a thin red stripe. You'd like that, Don.
Well,
today,
why not? It's unique. Yeah, it represents
you.
That colour.
That Hawthorne's, represents you, grey.
Yeah, but listen, Hawthorn colours are brown and gold, a shit house, but they're traditionally Hawthorn.
Well,
there's
colours. A nice hair to you, do, Don.
Well, they are.
Colours that
you
made
never
you
wear brown and gold.
Only in me underwear. Colours that made you famous, Don. Colours that made you famous, and you've trashed the fucking. Oh, seriously, you're a tosser. Yeah, now Tim, I don't think there's any more questions we can ask you about jumpers. Suffice to say, thank you very much for coming in at short notice. You and Giggs have done a fantastic job. I hope people, if you want something for Christmas and you want to...
after Christmas,
might
go
be a bit
out
late now,
this.
Since there's only 3 days to go. But it's a really great publication, and thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Sam, for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Don, anything, any other final announcements?
Just say thank you.
Because you